right, so the Muslim individual just hung up. I was going to go back to him. But Larry Pinkney, for those that don't know, has lived all over the world. Was the first individual from prison ever representing himself in front of the UN Global Court and win. I mean, he's a storied, scholarly person, very smart, as you can obviously hear. This is what the original Black Panther Party leadership was, not what you heard in the media. Now the new ones are just globalist-controlled race-baiting groups for divisions like the KKK or whatever. But I know you've lived in Africa, lived in other areas, traveled the world. For people that don't know, and I'm not just doing some hard-on for Islam, but for heaven's sakes, Islam started the practice of cutting black men's genitals off and using them as slaves all over the Middle East as eunuchs. And I remember reading the manuals, and because the guy did this, I'm gonna do a whole report in the next few days. I'm gonna pull it all up. He's gonna get what he wants. He says I'm making it up, so you're gonna get it. And you're right. It's hadiths and all that that come after that describe it about how the black man's a beast. You got to cut his genitals off. I mean, this is just some of the worst treatment ever, and it's just true. And then I have all these Muslims lecturing me because I'm white, that I'm this king daddy of slavery. And it just pisses me off. So, Larry, we've got a few minutes left. I appreciate you. I heard you get a little bit hot there, but we had to hit that hard break. You're saying you've lived in Muslim countries. Larry Pinkney.
Yes. And I'm sick and tired of people saying things that they haven't experienced. And as far as the Holy Quran is concerned, the Quran, I've read the Quran at least twice. I've read the Bible at least three times, back and forth. All right? I don't just say things. All right? And my point is, having lived in Jordan, having lived in Egypt, having lived for a short time at least in Palestine, I'm not talking out of my posterior, all right? Now, in some of these Muslim countries that I have lived in, I have seen firsthand color discrimination. Don't tell me that that doesn't, I'm not saying you're telling me that, but don't say that doesn't exist. That's why I get hot under the collar when I hear people say, discrimination and racial injustice, it's just America. My response is, get real, fool. Get real. I don't know what book you've been reading or haven't been reading, but the real deal is that the United States, and I keep going back, it's not that I'm saying that the U.S. is perfect, and I shouldn't have to say that because no country is perfect. But, you know, and let me be clear. I have friends who are Muslim. I have friends who are Jews, albeit most of my friends are Christian. I make no bones about that. But I do have friends, quote unquote.
Sure, we don't have anybody. We're just being clear about history. Let me ask this in closing. Right. I don't think Trump has the authority to go into Nigeria, even though they've killed 200,000 Christians, millions the last few years. Boko Haram is invading everywhere. It's absolutely terrible. They're targeting Christians mainly. And if they were white Christians getting killed, I don't think we have the right. But at the same time, maybe sanctions. I mean, what is the, because it's the Monroe Doctrine, or am I wrong? Should Trump, because Nigeria obviously is letting this go on. What's happening? What should Trump do?
I think that, you know, I frankly, I'm glad you brought that up. Frankly, I think that Trump should not militarily go into Nigeria. But I definitely know and believe that there are some economic handles that that President Trump could use.
Because we don't have Christians murdering Muslims that have invaded. No, it's the other way. It's always the other way around.
Right, right. But it's always denied. It's always denied. It's the elephant in the room. It's like, excuse me? You know, are you blind? And so this is something that, yeah, to answer your question, Alex, I don't want to see him militarily get involved in Nigeria. But I sure as heck would not be opposed to taking some economic action. Because if the Nigerian government wanted to stop the horrendous murders of Christians in Nigeria, they could if they wanted to. So I'll just leave it at that.
Muslims.
That's my opinion based on. And have I been to Nigeria? Yes. But go ahead.
Wow, Larry Pinkney, join us again soon. It's been too long. BlackActivistWG.org. I love you, brother. God bless you.
I love you, Alex. Stay strong. Love the crew and love the audience. Take care, my brother.
Thank you.
Hey, Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
We're now at number 4, shifting gears from the planet out. We have the leading expert, in my view, and dark journalist, Daniel List, with me now. He's going to host the last 30 because I want to make sure he gets plenty of time to say everything he wants to say. But I love the exhibits he sent because I've been trying to get him on the last few days about this 3-Eye Atlas that we've had them pre-programming for a year through their operatives and through the Harvard and NASA. Oh, it's a spaceship. Oh, it's aliens. Oh, now it flashed a light, may have accelerated. And what's it going to do? Has fake alien invasion written all over it, but who knows? But then I also was wanting to get him on when I saw this today and forgot to mention it to him. There was a big fight. That's why Elon really got kicked out. And that was because his head of NASA he wanted got blocked. Now Trump is bringing him back. That is a huge, huge deal. Now Elon and Trump are back together. Very destructive what was happening. We need Elon, his focus, his money, his media coverage to stop the leftist takeover that we see they just swept the country. That's a wake-up call to all the white-pilled folks who just say, eat popcorn, trust the plan. Yeah, the plan's us being engaged. I'm not white-pilled. I'm not black-pilled. I'm reality-pilled, engaged-pilled, victory-pilled, truth-pilled. So he's going to get into that as well. In fact, perhaps we should cover that first. Then I'll play the little Fox News clip with the head of astrophysics at Harvard and hand the baton to Daniel List here today because he sent a bunch of exhibits. And I've done a lot of research. I know who knows what they're talking about. He knows what he's talking about and a lot more than I do. You want BS? Tune in somewhere else. A lot of disinfo out there. But let's address this first. We have the man that Elon wanted to be the head of NASA and his whole Mars project got shot down. That was the big rift that we saw. And now it's a big shakeup because we know in the whole shadow government system, NASA and the X group is right at the heart of it. Trump nominates billionaire Jared Isaacman to lead NASA after all the campaigns against him. This is a huge story that's not getting any attention. So, Daniel, let's tackle that right now. What do you make of this?
Thank you, Alex. It's great to be back here. I'll tell you, this is a huge earthquake with Isaacman coming back from the dead, basically. His nomination was over, and it was pulled, in fact, by Trump himself to the great chagrin of Elon. But Trump had originally nominated him even before he became president, which is very unusual. It's never happened before. So he had, the billionaire club in on the first part. And he's also quite unusual, I would say, Isaacman. He's been a billionaire since he's 16. I mean, someone's going to have to explain some of that deep reach. But he also comes out of this payment piece and, kind of like a PayPal thing like Elon. And Elon wanted him in there. And from what I hear on this, which is that NASA is the single biggest repository of all the UFO file information, all the advanced technology that they've been able to observe out there in space that are anomalies that they can't explain, that they've done the deep, deep research on, and that they've started to figure out over the course of these 80 years since they started the secrecy in the first place. So Isaacman is in an unusual position to hand over that aspect of NASA, but NASA is a major, major center of this secrecy. So what you have is a gigantic clash going on between these two forces, the privatized SpaceX forces, which are linking up with the government but are still outside the government, even though they're run by DARPA and others.
And let's walk this back, because this is a big defeat for Susie Wiles, because I know the inside baseball, and I'm not an enemy of her. She keeps popping up as a problem. I know she has good organizational skills, helped Trump get in, navigate the swamp. But she and it's the DOJ, Todd Blanche, keep popping up, and now Trump's more and more getting upset. The fact that they were able to kill this nomination and run this out and cause this giant split that was so stupid and so destructive, and the way it was all handled, now that this sudden, we wake up today 180, this is seismic. This is an earthquake.
It is. It absolutely is. You have to know, when you're looking at the aerospace part, and you know, I call it deep aerospace, because if you look to aerospace, you're going to find out where the politics are, because everything's going out into space, and including low Earth orbit as well. That whole domination piece of the space grid from above, you know, there's a tweet even that Elon put out recently on X, where he said, you know, with a certain amount of satellites out there, you could actually block the sun and solve the climate crisis. And I thought that this was a very strange nod to some other faction out there when it comes to this. And what it says to me is that they're trying to cover all the bases with this about the advantages, so that they don't have so much opposition about consolidating and centralizing this. Now, what Trump was about when he got in was different. And what he was saying actually was, you know, I want the UFO file back under executive control. This is important. And he did it with the Space Force, and he did it with these moves early on. And I think Sean Duffy was this interim choice who was open. He had the superficial layer of UFO pieces out there and saying, NASA's going to investigate those UAPs. Don't you worry about it. So he had the good front line on that. But Musk is very resistant to revealing any of the UFO file information. And he said, oh, if there are aliens out there, in a recent Rogan appearance, don't worry. I promise you, I'll tell you about aliens. Well, that's different, because UFOs aren't necessarily aliens, so he could get out of that pretty easily.
That's right. Most of them we know is human. So larger, though, give me your view on this. I know it's not 100% known yet. Obviously, whatever Trump thought the last head was going to do, didn't do. And there's been a big shakeup behind the scenes. Do you have any information on what happened or why Trump suddenly soured?
Well, it's interesting to me. I think it's more that Isaacman was the big clash, as you mentioned, that Elon Trump had in the first place, and that they have apparently patched up their differences here. And now I'm going to put your guy in, as I had originally done. Remember, he had done it even before, you know, he was president. He was president-elect when he elected this guy. This guy is 42, which is an unusual choice for NASA. He does not have the background. He has been to space, but he's been to space as kind of the tourist background guy, and he's funded SpaceX missions. So he's very much on the inside, and he's very much an Elon guy, which would be fine, except that I think that that aspect, you know, Trump is much more, he's better off when he is in control of this whole piece. And I think he's doing a nod here to Musk, which is quite fascinating. And I don't know. I mean, the book is out on Isaacman. The problem he was saying was that Isaacman was a Democrat and donating to Democrats. But I think what he had with Elon was the fact that if we consolidate NASA into SpaceX, we will be the unstoppable, you know, megalith in space.
And well, this plus, is what they really for those need. That don't know, SpaceX, for less than half the price with a higher success mission, he doesn't get all the contracts because he's paid people off. It's the best deal. There's no way he doesn't get them. So I'm speculating Trump may have heard, wait, without SpaceX, we don't get all this stuff launched we need, or we'll then bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are technical aspects, and Trump is that kind of a manager also. I think when you look at it, what you're seeing is the secrecy is going to be there no matter what. Even if you have like a Sean Duffy there who is saying, you know, hey, we may not even use SpaceX to get to the moon. I think that that was, you know, Musk went after him on that and said, you have low IQ. I just want a NASA leader with above 3 IQ points. I mean, that's pretty harsh language. Using there, but he won out, which is very interesting, which shows that Trump is maybe in a slightly more vulnerable position than we realize and needs every supporter on board.
Oh, I said that. The people in the White House trying to run Musk out, that is dumb. He's ready to spend billions to win these elections.
Exactly. It's true. And the other thing is, you've gone over the last 3 hours here, the devastation, really, for the Republican Party last night. You know, I mean, there is no way to soften that blow. Every major seat got blown out.
Oh, maybe Trump pulled the trigger after that last night.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he saw the handwriting on the wall for sure. And what I see going on is the rise of this piece, which is the sky event aspect. And that's coming in through the drone operations. It's coming in through NASA, and it's coming in through 3i Atlas, which we'll get into. This is all one big piece, but it's all from above. And this is why we need to get completely up to speed on the aerospace aspects when it comes to looking at it geopolitically. And why I think it's really important, when you're going deep on that deep state information, if the UFO file comes into it, what you're going to do is open up an entirely different vista from which to look at what they're doing.
Because that, as you said, is the deep, is the deepest level. Let's go to the head of astrophysics at Harvard on Fox News a few days ago. I want you to come back and start getting in to the sky event, or the colloquial term blue beam. Here we are with the 3i Atlas, with them basically saying it's an alien spaceship.
Welcome back. Let's check out one viewer comment. Travis Dell asks over on X, Will, whatever happened to all the fraud that Doge found at the beginning of the administration? Can you get us a follow-up? Starting to seem like nothing is going to happen. Well, interestingly, Travis, Elon Musk addressed that exact issue on the Joe Rogan Experience.
We did get a lot done.
Right.
And Doge is still happening, by the way. That Doge is still underway. There's still waste and fraud being cut by the Doge team. So it hasn't stopped.
It's less publicized.
It's less publicized. And they don't have like a clear person to attack anymore.
All right. Meanwhile, now to this. We were spared last week from the Manhattan-sized 3i Atlas comment. It disappeared behind the sun with promises that on the back end we might know. Is it alien technology? Or is it just simply a deep space comet? But the story still has our attention. And since, according to our next guest, the comet showed signs of non-gravitational acceleration and a spotted blue color could be seen as a sign of an alien engine. Joining me now is Harvard professor and astrophysicist Avi Loeb. Professor Loeb, thanks for being with us here today. You have been the most legitimate voice, the most renowned or credible voice in pointing out this has some high probability of being something other than a deep space comet. I believe, Professor, you gave it a 40% probability before this latest evidence. Let's talk about what this evidence is, a blue tail and a change in pace.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Indeed, I did a calculation that indicated that in order for it to accelerate in the way that it did recently, it must have, if it's a natural comet, it must have lost a substantial fraction of its mass, of all the 20% or so. And we should see a very massive cloud of gas around it as soon as it comes out of the being hidden behind the sun. That should weigh of order 5 billion tons of gas around it. If we don't see that, there must have been some other means of propulsion that gave it that acceleration. So that's very exciting. You know, it's sort of like going on a blind date and wondering who is on the other side. And, you know, it could be a rock. Maybe that's the most likely interpretation. But we should be open-minded. We should be humble because it's an opportunity to learn something new.
Okay, so it has picked up speed. And you're telling me that is either because it has some alternate source of propulsion other than gravitational pull, or it has an engine. And if it does not have an engine, you're suggesting it should have been shedding size. That's the only way it would have picked up speed. So if it hasn't
right.
shedded size, essentially it's got an engine and therefore it's alien?
Well, yeah, that would be a very interesting possibility. But the cloud of gas that it should have shed, you know, it's a significant fraction of its mass. So it was obliterated by the sunlight in that case. And we should see that the object is losing a lot of mass into a cloud of gas. That's easy to spot with all our telescopes. You know, we have hundreds of them around the mm-hmm. globe. So within a few weeks, we will be able to tell. That's what makes it exciting. If there is no gas that it sort of shed and therefore got a recoil from that shedding, you know, like the rocket effect, then it's something else that propelled it. And as you pointed out, it appeared bluer than the sun. You know, that's very unusual because usually mm-hmm. comets are red because they're surrounded by dust that makes them red. Their surface is cooler than the surface of the sun, and therefore they are redder. But this one seems to be bluer when it approached the sun. That's actually the time for a spacecraft to accelerate, to use the gravitational assist from the sun.
So last question for you, Professor. If my memory serves correctly, you had it at 40% before this evidence of acceleration and the blue tail. Now that you have this evidence, has your calculation changed at all, 40% that it is some type of artificial technology?
I would wait a few more weeks and either revise my ranking down to zero or to 10. And, of course, that's what makes science exciting. We shouldn't have an opinion about our dating partner. You know, my best advice to people who go on blind dates is to observe the other side before having an opinion. Okay. So I'm just waiting for a few more weeks.
I think this day will end in early December, so we'll check back in and see how you enjoyed the date in early December. Thank you, Professor. And for
all of you watching, so when it comes back from the other side of the sun, we can see it with radio telescopes and things. We're going to hear this. Can we trust NASA? I saw them a year ago with clear plants saying they're insiders. This is an alien spacecraft. This has PSYOP written all over it. Am I wrong? Daniel Liss, about to turn the broadcast over to you. What do you make of all this hype from the establishment? What's really going on here? Daniel Liss, your host of the rest of the broadcast, The War Room, Harrison Smith, 3 p.m. in about 40 minutes. Be sure to tune into that. Daniel Liss, darkjournalist.com. Take over.
Thank you, Alex. And you're right on the money. PSYOP is written all over it, and they have prepped it. Now, remember, the 3 in 3i Atlas means it's the third such interstellar object ever. There's only been 3, and they started up in 2017. So somebody deep in our secret space program was observing this stuff coming in, and it was heading in, and so they could do things like chart out Oumuamua and figure it out in advance, like with this one, with the timing of it. And I think they announced it long after they had actually seen it. I think they've been watching this thing probably for about 5 years. They only announced it in July. And they timed it very suspiciously with all of the buildup around Avi Loeb, who's a great physicist. His lab is right over here. He's practically my neighbor. But I will say this, that he is a part of Talpiot. We have to be aware of that right off the bat. And Talpiot is Israeli intelligence. That's where he comes out of. And when he first put Galileo together, I thought maybe this guy is doing something good because, you know, we need a scientific approach to the UFO thing. He's doing it out of Harvard, we'll see. And then he started putting in all of the intel people, CIA, Lou Elizondo, NGA, you know, all of these different types coming in, NRO. It was all the intelligence group. So that whole intel vibe, the intelligence community controlled Galileo Project. Then he came to Congress and he could have been drumming up, you know, the whole thing. And instead he said, just give me $1 billion for myself to do this. So, you know, Avi is very opportunist when it comes to this, but he's also a major, major piece of this push for a UFO threat. Now he's coming in from a different side because when they pushed this UFO threat operation, they started that push at the end of 2017. And they've been doing it with progressive whistleblowers, congressional hearings. Oh, there's a threat out there. We need your money for a UFO defense office, which they have got in various forms through Arrow and other things. So they've been attaching that to the National Defense Authorization Act. And no matter what, if you attach it to the NDAA, it's going to get through because you're holding up $1 trillion in defense money. So the key to having people like Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, or Marco Rubio, who's now the Secretary of State, in this Age of Disclosure video documentary. This was actually shot close to 2 years ago. They're going for a huge release. And remember, this is Spielberg's producer, Dan Farah, putting this thing together. And they're coming out with this. This is coming out now for November 21st. And it is all of the spooks and the entire spook community saying there are, you know, evil UFOs out there and we need a UFO defense office to fight them off. This is where they're coming from. And that what you're looking at there is on the right, you've got Steven Spielberg. On the left, you're looking at Dan Farah, who is the director of this. But he's also Lou Elizondo's agent. He's also the agent for all these whistleblowers, getting them Netflix deals, Amazon deals, and all the rest of it. So this is the nexus of the Hollywood connection with the big money connection with Intel. They need to put these things over. And Avi Loeb and 3i Atlas is a huge piece of this. Now, 3i Atlas on its own is quite fascinating. It's only the third interstellar object that's ever entered, period. It's going 137,000 miles an hour. We've never seen anything like that. Oumuamua hasn't done anything like that. So we are looking at something unusual. But they saw it coming and they incorporated it. And so the problem, our gap in understanding, is that they already have a space program. It's already operational out there. And this idea that, oh, we're going back to the moon after waiting 52 years, 53 years in between, well, now they push that up to 2027. I have no doubt that they are going back. But what did you do with the 55-some-odd years in between the manned missions? This is where the NASA piece is crucial with what we started off with Isaacman. The control of that database of knowledge at NASA and the force at NASA and the attempt to fold that into the Department of Transportation. You know, it's very interesting when you get into the various people, and we've had guests on our program who talk a lot about the missing money and things of that nature. They always go back to NASA, DOD, and HUD. Somehow NASA is in that money laundering, easy to disappear money out the back door, black projects piece. That's probably been the case since Eisenhower, frankly, because of the secret nature of NASA, its dual purpose. So a little while ago, there was actually a story about the Trump administration and Duffy attempting to close NASA into the Department of Transportation, which is, again, another consolidation move to move that information and the UFO file under complete executive control. The problem is the Lockheed defense contractor, aerospace, Boeing, these groups have more information on the UFO file and the demonstration and the redevelopment, and they're off the hook from government liability in relation to this, because a long time ago, this was turned over to private enterprise. And so you've got that aspect, and they've been able to seed that out through the corporate world with different products and things. But when you get into deep aerospace, you have to understand who's actually running the show. And people often point to this group or that state actor. You have to go to the interface between the deep state and deep aerospace. That is the major piece that's missing here. And so when you look at the release of this Age of Disclosure movie and the Central Intelligence Agency completely behind it, Jim Semivan, Hal Puthoff, you know, Gary Nolan, all CIA people, deep, hardcore, you know, long, distinguished careers with the CIA, okay? But it's the Central Intelligence Agency, and you're not going to get the truth on the UFO file from the Central Intelligence Agency. It's an oxymoron, come on. So that whole thing and people waiting for disclosure on that, this is where it becomes very serious, though, because, for example, with the story about the Belgian drones today, that's going on. And they don't know what to make of it. You know, their entire airports are getting swarmed by these drones and they can't identify them. They're not Russian. They're not American. So whose are they? There's a third actor in the middle of all this. In my estimation, it's a corporate actor and they are moving to, you know, kind of put themselves on the map as almost like blackmail against these governments. But that aspect of this breakaway group with the advanced technology, God knows the level that they've been able to achieve, because they've maintained the secrecy now over 80 years, and they've had the help of the intelligence community. When we come back, I'm going to try to identify some of the structure and where they think they're taking us in 2026. And I'll tell you, it's disturbing, but there's always possibilities when you are getting the information out. As you know from watching Alex on this show, if you get the information out early enough, then boom, you're going into totally different territory. So we'll hit with that when we come back. It's great to be back here with everyone on the Alex Jones Show and InfoWars. We'll see you on the other side in just a couple minutes.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help, too. And I've read online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. I mean, love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Wow, what an incredible post-election journey that we're on here today. And in the heart of it is this explosive move by the intelligence agencies to bring on that UFO file propaganda right away here, coming out with a major documentary on this, brought to you by Steven Spielberg's producer, Dan Farah, and a lot of talking head spooks from the NRO, NGA, CIA, and you name it. That is Deep Aerospace on overdrive trying to launch this CIA UFO threat propaganda versus the real UFO file, which they like to keep very, very hidden and keep the public very, very distracted and off the track of that. This is why this is so crucial, the reception that people going into something like this. And, you know, recently we saw on Bill Maher, the director, go out and talk about this with the Age of Disclosure documentary and touting all of this, you know, these brave guys are cutting through the, you know, the red tape and getting us the UFO truth. And then they flash to James Clapper. Clapper himself, yes, actual criminal Clapper. And he has his own version of the UFO file, and he's been promoting these various whistleblowers. And he's the center focus. You know, it's his protege that actually narrates the entire movie. So what we have here is a clash here of the real UFO file on the brink of coming out and the intelligence agencies launching their own version. And in the middle of that, you have this other operation, which is to convince Christians that UFOs are demons. And that if you are, you know, it has to be demonic if you are even thinking about UFOs, you know. I always go back to the story of Gordon Cooper, one of the original Gemini astronauts, who I think was one of the real straight shooters who came out of that program, because I think a lot of them were mind controlled after the fact for what they had seen. And one of the things that he said that when he was training in Germany in the early 50s, that, you know, he would get up there with his squadron and do these various maneuvers, and these UFOs would show up right behind them and do the maneuvers with them and then do them better and then speed off into oblivion. So you can see that that's not an angel or demon type thing, as J.D. Vance and other people like that are suddenly pushing. And, you know, Vance has done some good things as VP, but this is a weird, you know, pandering that's going on. But I think that's also an effort to bring focus away from the UFOs and have the basic Christian audience look at it and say, oh, it must be demons. Therefore, we can accept the government spending money to go after those demons. So again, they're playing with the public on this side of it, and they're also appealing to the whole ET Messiah thing with somebody like Loeb saying, at the end of the day, what might happen is, you know, UFOs will show up and it will be AI and we'll have an ET Messiah who will tell us to stop wars. This is literally what they say in their lectures and talks. So we have to know where these people are coming from, but also the massive, well-planned, organized control of humanity with the idea of the UFO file and holding the advanced and technology, scientific knowledge, medical knowledge, et cetera, at the very heart of that UFO file. This is the thing that we need to get to, much more than the fight of the personalities and things that we see that go on in that world. And what happens very often, I've seen it before, which is when you get into the deep state, researchers, they understand things like, you know, government assassination, and they've seen it on a number of different occasions. They understand things like dealing with, you know, so many different aspects of government suppression, repression, and things that happen. But what happens, I'm afraid, is those people won't go near the UFO file and the UFO researchers, and this becomes a major, major problem, because the UFO field then becomes just this marketing piece. And you get so many different bastardizations of the true information that it becomes hard to make it anywhere close to the actual truth in the UFO file. So what happens, I think, and what needs to happen is the deep state researchers who are so good and so careful in dealing with the UFO file need to get into the UFO file and understand its impact and the deep airspace that gets into geopolitics, that gets us into the black budget, it gets us into missing money, it gets us into these different areas. So we have to take a look at that and really take it from the point of view that there isn't going to be any, you know, straight up admission by the government for the sake of the public. The only reason they're going to admit anything is because the public has dragged them to that point. And if they can convert that moment into them being the heroes for all this, well, then they're off and running. And that becomes the crucial aspect. And what we do with the Dark Journalist X series very often is we'll go into the different aspects surrounding this. So, for example, when you get into the UFO file and you are looking at all of the different abduction cases, you're looking at these different aspects, advanced technology, you'll start to see the pattern if you look at it over the course of time. And what happens in the regular public arena is they'll put together these people who come forward as whistleblowers, they'll come forward with their stories, and they all come out of the intelligence agencies. So what we're looking at is a whistleblower definition. You know, we'd seen it since the 1990s. This was a good thing. You know, information got out this way. And yet that whole kind of approach got pirated. And now we see the whole thing trivialized down to the fact of the NASA, you know, director Duffy talking with Kim Kardashian about their questions about whether we went to the moon or not, you know. And I think we have to be looking at this and saying realistically that the moon question also gets us into a totally different territory. And, you know, we certainly have been to the moon, but what we found there, the things that were observed there, and the amount of UFO information we got from that trip These are the things that need to come into sharp, sharp focus when we're dealing with this. Now, one of the things I'll do, and I'll mention this to the media guys, is we have a slide out there, which is Exhibit 7. And this is actually very interesting because someone who was in that and observed that secret space program talked about something called a flux liner, which was a development in the 1970s about advanced craft. And they were already at this level. What you're looking at there is, you know, McCandlish, he was, in fact, the artist that dealt with these and put it out. But that flux liner became a breach in the secret space program. And a lot of this information started to come out. You had whistleblowers like Gary McKinnon talking about the fact that we had an off-world officers list. This is crucial for us to understand, because if there's an off-world officers list developing and flying around in space with these craft, we don't know anything about it. It has nothing to do with NASA or anything else. This is a totally secret program. But just like you have the continuity of government program, which is entirely secret and runs completely underground, underground bunkers, an entire underground sprawl command centers, you know, coast to coast, all the way around the world, but certainly with its heartbeat in America. Those things have been developed since President Eisenhower. And, you know, he said, hey, while we're making the highways on top, we're going to construct these underground bunkers and things in the bottom. And that is the secret continuity of government program. Well, that project was so secret because it was to survive a nuclear war that when they switched it to space, they were able to use the same rules. That's why you and I have been cut off from all the real things that have been happening in space since 1972. We're looking at a 53-year gap of information. All the moon landings and the manned moon landings just cut off at that point. There's no explanation for it, certainly not financial explanations. And when you have programs like the Challenger and things of that nature and they get destroyed, that is, in fact, in 1986, the destruction of the Kennedy manned mission program, because that's the last of it. Now they're coming back with Artemis. They have secured the space. They've secured the space infrastructure, and they have privatized Blue Origin. They have privatized SpaceX. So when we're looking at these things, we need to look at it through fresh eyes and say, this is a gigantic power grab for all the resources. And you're hearing about them, you know, mining asteroids and all these other things that are completely unrealistic with the type of chemical technology that we have going on right now. So what they're talking about in the background is a new physics arm race. That is a crucial aspect for us to wrap our heads around, because we have these people in the background, scientists, politicians, and others. They understand that this group has kept the technology from the public during this whole period of time, and they are vying for a seat in the middle of all this as that comes out. That's why you see these kind of goofy congresspeople coming up to the mic and saying, we need to get that UFO truth. We have to get to the bottom of it. When you look into their past, and there's nothing that connects them with the UFO file at all. So what happened is they got, you know, someone sat them down and said, look, this is what's going on with the lobbying. You need to get behind the UAP thing. It's a gigantic cash bonanza if you can get behind this. And that's why you see these very uninformed people doing UFO committees. So one of the things I was looking forward to when the year started was this committee, the D-Class Task Force Committee. And this was Luna's committee with Tim Burchett and others. And they were going to unravel everything. The UFO file, they were going to do hearings. They were going to unravel the JFK assassination. Wow, you know. This sounded like maybe something was going to happen. They've gone through now 9 months of nothing, and they've had some of the worst hearings in history. They're completely uninformed, and they keep giving CIA and NRO people center stage. So that's not the way you're going to get to the truth on this matter. Just like the Age of Disclosure documentary and the millions of dollars that are behind that, that's part of a propaganda piece, which is just to kind of, you know, satiate the public that, hey, this stuff is being looked into, and that's about as superficial as the whole thing gets. And what happens, really, when you get into what's going on here with the UFO file, a lot of that control is coming in from the CIA Hollywood nexus. So it's a political thing and it's a Hollywood thing. That's why Spielberg is involved. One of the things I want to point out here for people is that there's some focal point in relation to New Jersey around all of this, which I still haven't been able to figure out entirely, but I have some very good ideas. Here's a couple of them. First off, the drone swarms that took place in December of 2024 into January of 2025, when Trump was just president-elect, were some kind of a gigantic flex from some group, and they didn't matter, you know, they didn't care, basically, who was seeing this thing happen. Then what happens is that whole thing moves, and we hear about Spielberg directing a movie about UFOs to come out in May of 2026, and that is all being shot in New Jersey. Actually, it's being shot very close by to where the Netflix studios were. They had to shut them down, in fact, to shoot it there. So that was happening. Jared Isaacman, who we just mentioned with Alex, is taking over NASA now, and he's being nominated for the second time. You know, it got flushed the first time, and still not very clear what was going on there. But this is Elon's guy. This guy's from New Jersey. So there's some kind of gigantic piece here around New Jersey in relation to this. And, of course, Anduril and Palmer Luckey and that whole thing about his killer attack drones and how he's servicing this company and that defense company, those are the things that we're looking at here. These are the people that we need to delve into. And, you know, certainly it's the handlers that are behind them. But the technology is so far beyond anything that we have on a regular basis that you and I would think about. So the public has been left out of the loop, and they've been able to kind of tailor this to different people's imaginations. So they've had people go off on this. One of the things I wanted to point out, and it's Exhibit 8 there on the list, but, you know, a lot of these people and a lot of these groups go back and understand and are part of secret societies and various mystery schools. So what we need to know when we're dealing with political forces is that there's something else they're aware of that they study in private, completely away from the public. One of them is the Niebuhr Stone. And the Niebuhr Stone is what you're looking at here. This was found only 25 years ago. And it's a very ancient, it's the earliest depiction of the cosmos. It was found in northern Germany. And the way that it came out to the public is unusual, too. In fact, there were millions and millions of dollars bounties to get the people who had found this and taken it out of Germany illegally. But what it shows is a gigantic astrological alignment that I believe that the elite groups themselves see as when the pole will shift. And there are a number of these, you know, the one in caves in Cuba have the same type of thing, but the Niebuhr Stone is quite pristine. And some of the shapes and things that you see, obviously the moon and the sun, Pleiades and other things, but there are these large arcs like the ones on the bottom and the ones on the side. Those to me represent what the shift is. This is an early documentation of this by one of these groups. And so some of this information and the way it came out, it took 13 years for this to come out, you know, just as we've had the repression of this 1990 UFO photograph from Scotland, which is very, very interesting, the Kelvin photograph. That was suppressed from 1990 until just 2 years ago. So these things, they already have them in their possession. And this is what I want to get to when it comes to the UFO file, advanced technology, artificial intelligence. They're playing with a playbook that is so far ahead of what we have. So when they're wringing their hands in public about, oh, what will AI do? They've gamed it out. They know in advance. What they need to do, and what I think they've been doing building up to the Sky event, and they're going to include NORTHCOM and NORAD and others in this. And there's no question, you know, we spend a lot of time on the Dark Journalist Show going through this to show people exactly what's happening in the background. But what they're building up to with this is if they can get enough information from something like 3i Atlas, for example, or if they can get enough information from how people respond to the drone threats. You know, if you freeze up the entire country of Belgium, you know, and you're going to get a lot of data from that. You can data mine that, you know, for a long time and get information. NORTHCOM itself was in the middle of homeland synchronization when the drone swarms were hitting. And the name of that test was UAP versus UAS. Okay, so unmanned vehicles versus UFOs, basically. That's when people were having these dramatic sightings. I want to go back again and again to these drone sightings because what they're representing is how do people on the ground respond. So when they bring in the UFO aspect and they name it as a threat, and then they stage something of a clash with that, then they think, you know, the public's on board enough, we can get emergency powers from this. That's when you're able to get the continuity of government going. And, you know, it's quite interesting because we had Vice President Dick Cheney, the infamous Vice President Dick Cheney, passing recently. And a lot of strange things happened there. Of course, a plane crash happens on the day that he died. And there's a number of unusual things. But what I want to say about Cheney is this, is that he was at the heart of this version of the continuity of government. And he was also, according to those people on the inside, a major player in the S4 UFO secrecy. And that overlap of NORAD, NORTHCOM secrecy mixed with the UFO file. And the NORAD NORTHCOM commander is the COG combatant commander. He's a three-time threat. And if the country goes into the continuity of government, this guy becomes the complete ruler. Forget about Congress, forget about the president. This guy sets about, and this is all in the NORTHCOM doctrine that we got after 9/11. He sets about now setting up the country with regional governors and, you know, to restore peace until there can be another election, maybe never. So there's one more, I think, in here headline, which is Exhibit 9. This is important because NORTHCOM is at the heart of all of this because NORTHCOM in itself is an illegal entity. And we've only had it, actually, in America since the attacks of 9/11, which put America under emergency footing. So this Army NORTHCOM link, Palantir AI systems, now, quote unquote, to strengthen border security. No, I think Palantir getting in to NORTHCOM is a major, major sign of where they're going with this. Because Peter Thiel, of course, who launched Palantir and is that billionaire who's running around talking about the Antichrist and everything. This is a very unusual guy for a lot of reasons, but one of the key reasons, I think, with him, with all his surveillance systems and pre-crime and everything else they rolled out through Palantir, predicting human behavior and mining your Facebook posts and things like that, he's deep, deep into the UFO file, and he has set about unleashing his investors, masquerading them as people who are interested in this topic and putting them out there with millions of dollars to make their documentaries. So we have, you know, the Thiel deal on the UFO file and the real deal. And you have to be able to separate the two. So you, the viewer at home, is going to be flooded through the month of November with all of this UFO threat propaganda, which will come directly out of this Age of Disclosure documentary. And Bill Maher, of course, has already launched that out by saying, wow, you know, and having Dan Farah on there and not asking them any tough questions like, hey, is the intelligence community funding this documentary? Seems like an obvious question. No tough questions there. I asked that tough question, of course, to him on X, and he blocked the channel, of course. So no tough questions for these guys, only softballs, you know. Here are the UFO whistleblowers. True, they're all counterintelligence agents, but hey, that's okay, right? So you're not going to get the truth from those people. You're going to get propagandized hard, and you're going to notice people around who are just picking up on this topic being brainwashed by that. So I guess my message in the middle of all this, based on all the information, is that there's a real UFO file, and it has to do with advanced technology and some very super sensible realities. The wall of secrecy is dramatic in relationship to it. And then there's this thing, which is this Intel Frankenstein overlay, where for years and years they told us there is no UFO file. All of those people are seeing the planet Venus and that whole thing. Well, now they decided the dam was breaking, and they took the guy who was the mayor of Area 51, Chris Mellon himself, who worked for the Clintons in the Defense Department, the DOD billionaire, and they made him the point person coming out and pushing this whole thing and controlling the whistleblowers. I know I have one more exhibit up there, and it is 4. And it's very interesting because this is the original melons. This is the melon banking family. And you're going to find they're in the heart of this clash as well. That's Andrew Mellon and Paul Mellon in that exhibit. But we will be seeing that momentarily. What I want to point out is Chris Mellon has been running the UFO threat operation for, you know, he's a DOD billionaire. He's been running it for the intel community. And on the other side, interestingly enough, is his cousin, John Warner, who has been exposing the UFO threat. And we've had him on the Dark Journalist show many, many times, but he's John Warner the IV, and he is the son of the senator, the late senator from Virginia, John Warner, and also of the banking, Mellon banking heiress, Catherine Mellon. So he's right in the heart of it, and he understands how the UFO file part works. And that Mellon connection there with their billions being in the heart of that, we have to understand when we see all these billionaires, when we see Isaacman at the top of NASA, it's because so much of this is coming down to space disclosures. And they need to be able to spin that in a way with their own human narrative story to consolidate the public vision about what this really is and get you away from the truth of the UFO file, which they've held on to, you know, basically for 100 years, keeping all of the advancements to themselves, the anti-gravitic work, the scientific jumps and leaps for humanity, so they could hold that advantage. And on the other hand, also give you this false narrative about there's a threat and we need to consolidate control on planet Earth. And we'll do that through emergency powers, and we'll do it through the COG commander, who is also the head of NORAD and NORTHCOM. So if we can put those together, we're going to get to a much better place. And just in closing, I'll let you know that we do the X series of Dark Journalist on Friday nights at 8 p.m. on YouTube. We'll see you there. It's been great to be here with Alex and the crew at InfoWars, the Alex Jones Show. Just fantastic. You know, as long, I always say that Alex is the architect of the independent media, and he has been the one who's really put so much out there first. And so we're following very much in that line. I want to thank everyone who's been watching. You have a great hour coming up here with the next segment, and we will see you all very, very soon. But have a great night, everyone, and we'll see you on Friday.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out, probably today, in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, You are the resistance.